Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is the American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen, back for the last week of December, the last week of the year. And so what do we do with our time together? Do we talk about the same things that people always do with year-end shows? These were the biggest farm stories of the year. I don't feel much like doing that. Because I don't think that, I mean, we've been through a lot of the same things. Maybe toward the end of the program in my opining section, because I always set aside a few minutes at the end of the program to give you my opinion on an issue. But for now, let's start with something in the news department here on the American Family Farmer that is just a smile. It's just a way. This lady got caught last week with a box of giraffe poop. She was seized by a customs agent after she tried to bring the poop into our country. She said she wanted to make a necklace out of giraffe poop. She declared the box when she was, she was selected to have her belongings inspected when she came in at Minneapolis St. Paul. So she was brought into a room. Customs and Border Protection looked into her bag. This woman, by the way, is from Iowa. She told officials that she picked up the poop on a trip to Kenya. She had made a necklace with moose poop. So now she decided she wanted to make a necklace out of giraffe poop. That's what she did. You can do it if you have the proper permits and inspections, according to the folks in Minnesota, but she didn't have that. Her name was LaFonda Burke, field director at Customs and Border Protection. That's the lady who went through all of this with the news media. She entered the U.S., had not declared the item, and so that's why she was stopped, and she got fined for bringing giraffe poop. So I wonder what would happen if we took dried cow poop. Here I am, my mind is going a mile a minute here. Dried cow poop, dried chicken poop, dried pig poop, right? What about, chickens make great poop. So what about a necklace out of chicken poop? Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't got anything better to do with your time, it's a slow week. So let's think about what we can do with various forms of feces. That'll be the headline. American Family Farmer program every week on the air. We have a website, AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, where you can go to listen to the previous programs. We also have every week a podcast at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, which basically includes the best bits and pieces of our conversations. Presently, if you go to AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, you'll hear the conversation that I had with Michael Francis, who's the owner of a Japanese maple farm in New Jersey. It's pretty, this guy's been around. His family has had this farm for four or five generations, and he has found that this is a very productive way to use some of the land. They do other things. They have different varieties of vegetables there, too. But this is about the various varieties of Japanese maples. They're very expensive. I know I have a couple on one of my properties, and I've been told, I don't remember because I didn't plant them. They were there when I bought the property, but the value of them today, I was told by one nursery person, this particular Japanese tree, maple, whatever it is, was worth $25,000. Woo! So, if you're looking for an idea how to raise the value of your land, you want to raise Japanese maples, find out all about it at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. All right, let's focus on the hog market. Speaking of poop, hogs and pigs, we don't talk much about them in the news. We don't talk much about them at all on the American Family Farmer. And so I thought we ought to devote some time to what's going on in the pig market. 69 million market hogs last year. And of that, there were 69 million raised in America for the purposes of producing pork products. Ham, sausage, bacon, pork roasts and pork chops and all that sort of thing. The market is up from a year ago, according to the information that I see online here from the U.S. government. Hog producers are now, let's see, there are 6 million sows that were kept for breeding. I'm looking at the stats here, which is down a couple of points from last year. That is 2022. So what's the next year going to be? As we flip the calendar to 2024, one of the leaders in Iowa State University's field, they have a lot of different departments, obviously, because Iowa State's a big ag school. They have a hog and pork industry segment, I guess, teaching about what goes on in the pork business. I think I try to put this out of my mind because it so annoys me what the Chinese position is in U.S. agriculture. So every once in a while I blank out on Smithfield. Smithfield is the name of the pork company that China has bought, largest pork producer not only in America but around the world, and now China owns them. There are a lot of American companies that are owned by the Chinese government these days. I'll bet you don't know who half of them are. If you want to tune into the Good Day program Monday through Friday, I'll go through sometime this next week a list of the companies that are owned by the Chinese government. In a moment, I'm actually going to spend more time talking about China and agriculture, starting with how much land the Chinese own here in America. That's up next here, this week's American Family Farmer.
Doug Steffen here, calling all travelers. How many of you have ever been to Las Vegas? How many of you would love to go to Las Vegas? How about going to Las Vegas 2 nights free? I have your attention, so right now be one of the first 10 callers right this minute to call 800-419-3684. 2 free nights in Las Vegas. That's it. First 10 callers, get on board. 2 free nights in Las Vegas. It's the easiest thing ever, right? First 10 callers to call 800-419-DOUG. And 2 nights in fabulous Las Vegas is yours. No questions. You don't need to be caller 29. You can be in the first group of 10 or a dozen, and you're on board. 800-419-DOUG. 800-419-3684. We've traveled the world to find a good deal. You've got it now with 541 Travels and the Doug Steffen Good Day Program. 800-419-DOUG.
Your brain is an amazing thing. But as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The American Family Farmer continuing now. Doug Steffen here this week with a focus on, to a point, this past year and what we have talked about, what's been the important news that farmers have gravitated to, and what more importantly is probably the future, this next year, what are we going to be talking about? How much pipeline growth is there in the United States? How much of the farmland that we now are using is going to be given over to oil pipelines? That's something that there's good and bad to that, and there's also obviously different feelings. A lot of people struggle with the idea of having pipelines in environmentally sensitive areas. Well, we get into that whole thing when it comes to the environment and farming in general. And you know who the worst offenders are? If you look around at the reports from various departments of ag around the country, the Chinese now own 380,000 acres of land. This is something that a lot of people haven't the slightest idea, and I think those of us in the agricultural community need to be harping on this a little bit more than we do. China owns 380,000 acres of farmland here in the United States. And there have been moves afoot to stop the Chinese from buying more land. Lawmakers in various states have all around North America, all around America, have tried to, in some way, shape, or form, curb or make illegal the fact that Chinese corporations are buying U.S. assets, and much of it is farmland. The Chinese investors that buy up land, they all know how valuable it is. Why are we letting them do that? Why? What is the legislation in Congress restricts these Chinese purchases of U.S. farmland, but they run up against a buzzsaw because most of the politicians and the bureaucrats have ties to the Chinese food industry. You look at the members of the Ag Committee and see who's donating to them for their campaign, their re-election campaign. It's chock full of Chinese influence. Look at how much money is given by the people who are running Smithfield to the campaigns. Remember when, what was it, Citizens United, law that was, it went through the Supreme Court and was, the end result was that corporations could be treated like people and they could give as much money as they wanted to various campaigns. And so that's what's going on. That's why there's so much money. This year, it's estimated that $8 billion will be used to finance elections, re-election campaigns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a billion of those dollars will come from Chinese interests. People trying to, we're crazy. And the area in our country that it affects most is the agricultural section. And I just find it abhorrent. I mean, this is, I can look at the various studies and I brought it to your attention. Now you do what you will with the information. One of the things from Kansas this week, the monitoring of cases of avian flu. There are a couple of counties that have a real bad time. This is something that's been going on back and forth, and it seems to not be identified with one particular area of America. It seems to spread around. And so this area of Kansas, there are millions and millions of birds in Kansas, and I think there are 21 cases, according to officials. So what does that mean? We should run for the hills? No. But what they did was they monitored a 12-mile zone around a couple of these farms where they had avian influenza. This has been something that is very, it's almost impossible to get rid of it other than getting rid of all of the birds. So I think that's going to be a story that will continue into 2024. If I can pick one out right now, that's what's on my radar. This is the American Family Farmer. Doug Steffen here. We'll be talking to the lady who wrote the book about Malabar Farm and what it does for the ideas of sustainable agriculture here in America in just a few moments. So stand by for that here on this week's American Family Farmer.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
This week's American Family Farmer, as we cap through the year, not necessarily year in review, but if you think about one of the influences of this past year, it's been a focus on land, conservation, sustainable agriculture. So we've invited to be on the program this week Annalise Abbott, who is a researcher, basically focusing on the history of organic and sustainable agriculture. Been working on that for about 10 years. And so she's written a book called Malabar Farm, focusing on the friends of the land, turn the first page and the second page, the rise of sustainable agriculture. Annalise, thanks for joining us. Happy New Year from us here on the American Family Farmer. What in your mind is the correct definition of sustainable agriculture? What in your research have you come upon over and over and over again that leads you to believe, okay, this is what the focus on sustainable agriculture means?
Well, that's a good question because there are, of course, many definitions of sustainable agriculture, and depending on who you ask, they will give you a different definition, but I would say that one that most people would agree on is that it's a way of farming today that does not impair the ability of future generations to also be able to farm and use natural resources.
Are you a farm kid? Did you grow up on the farm?
On a homestead, not really a big farm, but a little homestead in Michigan with goats, chickens, bees, garden.
How do you think that affects your thinking about this issue these days?
It affects it a lot because I've seen both the small scale and the large scale agriculture because I live in an agricultural area. So I feel like I have probably a different perspective than someone who was raised in a city.
Mm-hmm. And so the term sustainable, I also wanted to get a sort of a working definition from you as to the term sustainable agriculture. I talk to people all the time, and it means different things to different people. What does it mean to you?
Well, to me, it also means working with nature, trying to do things as natural as possible. And then, again, as I was talking about, the way of farming so that we leave the land in better shape for future generations than it was when we found it, a way of using it without abusing it and of replenishing the resources rather than using them up.
So I'm a big believer in this. I have a farm. I raise a lot of hay and corn to feed mostly my own animals. I breed replacement heifers, Jerseys, for the most part. And I have always been organic, even though I've never really been declared organic. I just think that the principles are much healthier. I don't use chemical fertilizers, et cetera, et cetera. It's a choice that I've made. And I made it after looking at land that had been, in my mind, abused by things continually being added or, sprayed onto the land. Much of the stuff comes from Monsanto, but not all of it. And so the dirt that I observed from looking at the stuff that had not been applied with Monsanto chemicals and the stuff that had been, the stuff with the, like, Roundup, I mean, that's the most common use, but there are plenty of other chemicals. You and I both know what they are. They cause the earth to become like clay. It's hard and cold. And I don't mean to over-dramatize it, but it's pretty obvious the organic stuff has flaky, it's dirt rather than clay. It feels like dirt. So, in my mind, that's the difference. You can tell very easily by looking at the stuff that comes from the organic side of the street versus that which has become conventional agriculture. So we'll continue with this conversation to focus on the book and the work that's being done by Annalise Abbott. Doug Steffen here on this week's American Family Farmer. Doug Steffen on the Good Day program with my friend Elizabeth Miller. It is appropriate to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, you know, good blessings to everybody, too. I get to talk to customers every day who are seeing results with Caltrin. You know, when you're losing the weight, doing it the right way. So no drugs, no stimulants. It's just your body burning off those fats and sugars more efficiently. You feel good while you're taking it. You feel good even after you get off of the product. The side benefits that go along with the weight loss that are also from Caltrin include better sleep, less joint pain, more natural energy. So I hear it from customers every day. You know, I feel so much better. I feel like my old self again.
So between now and the end of the year, what's the special?
We've got our unlimited buy three, get three free. So that's that proven 90-day supply. It's that one with a huge 86% success rate.
Elizabeth Miller here from Caltrin. Check it all out at toploss.com. Doug Steffen here, calling all travelers. How many of you have ever been to Las Vegas? How many of you would love to go to Las Vegas? How about going to Las Vegas two nights free? I have your attention, so right now be one of the first 10 callers right this minute to call 800-419-3684. Two free nights in Las Vegas. That's it. First 10 callers, get on board. Two free nights in Las Vegas. It's the easiest thing ever, right? First 10 callers to call 800-419-DOUG. And two nights in fabulous Las Vegas is yours. No questions. You don't need to be caller 29. You can be in the first group of 10 or a dozen, and you're on board. 800-419-DOUG. 800-419-3684. We've traveled the world to find a good deal. You've got it now with 541 Travels and the Doug Steffen Good Day Program. 800-419-DOUG.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Maine's Secretary of State Shenna Bellows is now receiving threats after removing Donald Trump from that state's 2024 Republican primary ballot. Bellows made the decision Thursday.
I was duty-bound to follow Maine law to ensure the candidates are qualified for the office they seek.
In her statement, Bellows said Trump was aware of the likelihood for violence on January 6th. and that he encouraged it and took no timely action to stop it. Trump's team has argued he incited nothing that day and that he was only participating in free speech demonstrations that got out of control. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has rejected a bill aimed at limiting transgender care for minors. DeWine stands out as one of just two GOP governors who vetoed such restrictions on gender-affirming care. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Past the hour now. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. This week we are focusing on the history of organic farming. As a matter of fact, Annalise Abbott, who's the author of Malabar Farm, has an expansive website, frankly, historyoforganic.com. All right, so Annalise, in focusing on the things in your book, I was brought back to the Dust Bowl of the 1920s, the Depression, and how much of America's farmland got blown away. Did this, the idea of organic, come out of that time, or is it just maybe land conservation in general?
Well, what came out of the Dust Bowl was the idea of soil conservation, which is very much a part of organic farming. They did not use the term organic farming, but it was all about restoring soil organic matter, keeping the soil covered with vegetation, especially so that it wouldn't erode either in the wind or in rain erosion in wetter areas. And so Hugh Bennett, who was the founder of the Soil Conservation Service, he was very into building organic matter, what they called vegetative methods of erosion control, which were based on the plant ecology of the 1930s. All of that was a very big part of the soil conservation movement through the 1930s and 1940s, at least up to about 1950.
So under the circumstances, what we have now is a return to what we did before. And some of the best practices that we think are new and modern aren't really that way at all. Soil conservation has been on people's minds, not only here in America, but I think around the world. Don't you think, you know, we tend to think of ourselves as the, you know, this is the new big movement, but this is not, it's been around for 100 years. Actually, the fact that agriculture, as we know it today, developed over tens of thousands of years, in a manner of speaking, if you really objectively look at this, we couldn't have the farms that we have today if it weren't for people who were conservationists, who were conservation-minded over the centuries, not just in the most recent decades. Is that, don't you think that's an kind of an objective view of this whole, of the whole movement?
Yes, and I would even go further than that to say that American agriculture before the soil conservation movement was very, it had a lot of problems. It was very erosive, the yields were very low, and so conventional agricultural scientists will give most of the credit for the rise in agricultural yields since the 1930s to chemicals and to better varieties, but a lot of it really should go to soil conservation, because soil conservation really was what made it possible to actually raise yields and all that. If it hadn't been for soil conservation, none of the chemicals or anything would have even helped. They would have just made things worse, as in fact, commercial fertilizers were being used quite widely before the Dust Bowl, but they were not increasing yields because the soil was eroding.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about Malabar Farm. You write about this particular farm and how it is a good example of sustainable agriculture. Am I reading between the lines here?
Yes, it's a really good case study of the soil conservation movement.
And how, in terms of the soil conservation movement, you bring us around to understanding what organic farming is, has been, and its future. Do you believe that organic farming is the only way that land, or is it the best way that land can be preserved, either or both of those things?
I do think it is the best way. I wouldn't have said that maybe even when I wrote the book, but I have been interviewing so many organic farmers since then that I think that good organic farming done right with a focus on nutrient cycling and building up soil organic matter, I do believe now that that is the best way to farm and the most sustainable.
Okay, but how do we translate that into big ag? Because, you know, we all know, those of us who have small, this program is aimed at making small family farms successful, coming up with ideas, plans, if you will, to make it better for the smaller family farmer. But we can't disassociate ourselves from big ag, and so I'm wondering if this has any hope of moving into that circle, because most of the big ag outfits that I know of don't really give a doggone about soil conservation. Maybe that's not fair, but I think that there's much more focus on the smaller family farms as to the quality of the soil, the way you protect the soil, than there is in the big ag circles, frankly. You can disagree if you think I'm wrong.
Well, I think a lot of it is this idea that you can't farm organically on a big scale. I think if the people that farmers were getting their information from were able to give them practical information on how to do it, because it has been done. And of course, a lot of what Lewis Bromfield did, he wasn't 100% organic because he did use some chemical fertilizers, at least in the beginning, but he never used the pesticides. And the big emphasis there, of course, was on grass farming. And of course, he integrated the crops and the livestock. And that's a big thing. But I think the biggest barrier toward all of agriculture going organic is a mindset, that it's not possible. If that mindset wasn't there, there are plenty of farmers who are doing it and are doing it well. And I think if the people that farmers were to get their information from, especially like, say, seed companies or agricultural extension and all that, if they were to promote organic farming and explain how feasible it is, I do think it would catch on a lot faster.
So who is this guy Bromfield? He's not, this is a guy who goes back 100 years, right? This is not today. This is the story of this fellow's farm going back in history.
So Bromfield was actually a novelist. He grew up on a, he didn't really grow up on a farm. His grandfather had a farm that he visited when he was a boy, and then he went to France, and he was a famous novelist and kind of traveled the world. But then right before World War II, when Hitler was about to invade France, Bromfield saw that coming and went back to the United States. And his original idea was like to have a self-sufficient farm. And eventually he realized that wasn't really practical, and that was when he got connected with the soil conservation movement and this organization, Friends of the Land. And so they taught him about soil conservation, and then he got really excited about it and basically devoted the rest of his life to just promoting that cause of soil conservation and working with nature to make farming better.
This is a farm that's in Ohio, operated today by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Let's talk about that and focus on what we can learn from Bromfield and the farm as we apply it to modern farming today. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Focus on the book Malabar Farm, written by Annalise Abbott.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times national survey of pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Doug Steffen on the Good Day program with my friend Elizabeth Miller. You do your job well, and you do good things for people by helping them lose the weight, whether it's this time of year or any time of the year. But the average American gains about 8 pounds, 8 to 10 pounds during the holiday. And so Calitrin, da-da-da-da-da, to the rescue.
Right, that's right. Yes, well, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, you know, good blessings to everybody, too.
So between now and the end of the year, what's the big deal? What's the special?
Well, right now on our website, toploss.com, we've got our unlimited buy three, get three free. So that's that proven 90-day supply, that one with a huge 86% success rate. You get 90 days absolutely free. It's on our capsules and our powder form, and it's on our website, toploss.com.
Calitrin, the way to lose weight safely and naturally. Elizabeth Miller here from Calitrin. Check it all out at toploss.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Back on the American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen at the end of the year with a lady who's done a lot of great research and sort of put two things together. The story of Malabar Farm and the book that was written by this fellow we're talking about, Lewis Bromfield, and what Annalise has done with a review, sort of revival and manner of speaking. Is that fair? Do you think that I'm being fair when I talk about what you've done is sort of a revival of what he first wrote about?
I hope so, yeah. I'm hoping that it will trigger a lot more interest in Bromfield and also in these other soil conservationists of the 1930s and 40s and that whole movement that has been largely left out of histories.
So the farm is operated not by, it's not a commercial farm anymore. It's a farm operated by the state of Ohio. So why is that good or not? Is it practical? Most of these places that are run by either organizations that are nonprofit or states, I find not necessarily always to be on the top of the list of places that give you the best ways of surviving in the commercial world. That's kind of an awkward way of saying that it's not reality. That's what my experience is anyway. What do you find?
Well, I haven't been to Malabar since 2018, so I can't really say how they're managing it at the moment. It has been controversial ever since the state took over as to whether to try to make it the best in modern farming or to just keep it more historical. And as I outline in the book, they've tried both over the years with varying success. They were managing it according to what they considered good sustainable practices in 2015 when I was there, but in a conventional way, so no-till with Roundup. And they did give the cattle some grass, but there's been a lot of pushback from the Ohio Department of Agriculture to not have it go all the way organic, at least in the past. And I'm not sure if that has changed yet, so I can't really say as to how it's operated right now. But yes, because of all the political factors being operated by the state, it has not necessarily been a current showplace of the best in sustainable or organic agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a practical side to this, and there are those who, and I say this lovingly, the same sort of approach that we have to climate change. There are those who take a practical approach, which I think is the most important and the best way to have credibility. And then there are people who have the rigidity that doesn't allow for some flexibility in terms of organic farming. You have written a number of articles for Acres USA magazine. Is this something I'm not familiar with? I never came upon it before. What is the story of that magazine, and why do we pay attention to it, other than the fact that you've written a lot of articles for it?
Well, Acres USA magazine was started by Charles Walters in 1972, I think. And it was about eco-agriculture, which was to make agriculture both ecological and economical. So it was one of several. There was also, at the time, Organic Gardening magazine. There was Countryside magazine. There was Mother Earth News. I think Acres was probably all along geared more toward different inputs. They focused a lot on mineral fertilizers at that time. They're focusing more on biological inputs at this time, which is probably what has differentiated it over the years a little bit from the other magazines that were not necessarily quite so input focused.
One of the things that you read about that I was very intrigued about is composting. I have a big composting operation on my farm. We don't use lawn clippings, for example, because there's too much in the commercial landscaping business. People are spraying lawns to make them greener all the time, and God knows what's in that stuff. So we don't take that. We do take leaves. We take food scraps. And once in a while, when one of my animals passes away on the farm, I put them into the composting facility as well. So in terms of composting, we again think today, wow, we're right on it. But composting has been going on, maybe not called composting, but it's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Yes. And a lot of the modern composting is based on both the work of Sir Albert Howard in India. And he did that in the 1920s and 1930s. And then also F.H. King was a soil scientist from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he traveled to China, Japan, and Korea in 1909 and saw their traditional composting methods there. And so his book was one of the ones that Howard read. And that is what we consider the foundation of modern organic farming as distinguished from traditional farming methods.
All right, this book, Malabar Farm, is available at your website, historyoforganic.com. Where else can people find it? I'm imagining it's on Amazon as well, yes?
Yes, it's from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any major bookseller, and I have links to all of those on my website.
HistoryOfOrganic.com is the website. Annalise Abbott is the author, and our focus here on the history of organic and this particular farm, it's a good read. So check it out. Annalise, thank you for being here, and Happy New Year.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help!
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or, you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, an extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Past the hour now on the American Family Farmer Program. I'm Doug Steffen with an overview of the modern world of agriculture. This is the point I every week take a few minutes to give you my thoughts on something that's going on in the world of agriculture. Sometimes it's general, sometimes it's specific. One of the great trends, and I use great in quotation marks this past year, has been the world of gardening. On top of buildings, there are a lot of people that have provided a lot of huge real estate investment trusts that have made farming on the rooftop of buildings in New York, Los Angeles, any big city, and not only here in America, but as far away as Dubai. That's a place that, you know, there's really no agriculture there. It's in the desert. And yet these things have been cropping up, pardon the pun. And so it's become a place actually for artistic expression as well as scientific research, gardens on rooftops, gardens in general, the wonders of the world, this botanical reality, as I've started calling it that, is really in a world of its own. And it may be that it evolves to become a particularly crucial element of society, in that this is going to be a way that cities provide more and more food to the residents of the city. As land becomes more scarce, as food production becomes more expensive, and as people sort of demand. You know, they're beginning to realize now what's going on in the world of sustainability, and that word gets overused. But the modern grocery store and the big chains that control them. Now, there are certain, I'm thinking about Los Angeles, certain places where there are local food chains like Bristol Farm and Gelson's that have many of the same products in them that the big stores have, but they present them differently, and then they do add some things. I think Gelson's a good place. Bristol Farm's very good. You know, there are lots of holes. You can't swing a dead cat around here where I am in California this week in Santa Monica without hitting a Whole Foods market. They become quite the rage out here. And is the food different? Yeah, kind of. It's not as good as it used to be before it was independently owned, before Amazon bought them. But there still is some decent quality. It's so expensive, though. And this is one of the things that I think farmers can work on and turn to their advantage. The reason that stores are, it's not that the food isn't worth it, it's that where's the money going? The producer that's working and producing, I'm overusing the word, but it's the most applicable word here, that are responsible for the food that you're buying in these stores, the bigger the quantity, the more the profit, so they think. It's like dairy. You know, we have prices in milk going up, so we'll buy more cows. Well, that's not always the way to success. It's becoming now more apparent that sometimes the less you grow, depending on the circumstances where you are, the more productive, like turkeys, for example. I think we had on this program a couple of weeks ago somebody who was a turkey farmer, and he started out with 100 a year, and then it was 1,000, and then it was 5,000, and he found that he wasn't making as much money raising 5,000 as he could raising 3,000. So people were willing to pay, and that's why I come up with it, because it's the most recent example of how people specialize in an area of agriculture, and then they hone down what the best way is to grow or produce the product that they're producing, and then they come up with a number that's realistic. This fellow is making $100 on average a turkey, and he sells 3,000 of them to the local folks in the community who appreciate what he's doing, who understand the value of a good turkey. Now, you can go into a supermarket and you can buy a turkey for $29, but what are you getting? That's the question. And I think this applies across the board to food in general. But to go back to some of the gardens in some of the cities, I was looking at a city in Morocco that has made tremendous strides in rooftop gardening. And there's another one in France, and certainly we have them here. But they're quite lush, they're quite productive, and I think that there's something that is going to be a part of the future. So I had a couple of different approaches thinking about how we can proceed and what our focus should be as we move ahead into 2024. I'm Doug Steffen. Look forward to having you with me next year on The American Family Farmer.
This program was produced at Bob K. Sound and Recording. Please visit bobksound.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.